Well, good morning. I'm glad that you could join me this morning for a time of worship. Whether you're watching this live or watching it later during the day, may God's blessing be upon you, and may the Holy Spirit lead and guide you today. And may God touch your heart in a way that you will grow ever closer to God. Let me open our time this morning by reading from Psalm 4. Verses 6 through 8. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, will make me dwell in safety. What a wonderful thing it is that God is watching over us and God is taking care of us every moment of every day. It's a powerful thing to know that God is right there. This Sunday, we begin celebrating Advent. Advent is a time of preparation for Christmas. A time of preparing our hearts for receiving the Christ child again, for receiving the fulfillment of God's promise to bring the Messiah to this world to save us, to guide us, and to help us. And this morning, if we were in the worship service in the sanctuary, we would have the Advent wreath and we would light the Advent candle. But today I want to share with you first from the book of Habakkuk, a scripture about Advent that centers upon our hope and our looking forward to. And then I want to read you just a little piece about what this Sunday of Advent should mean to us and to our hearts. So from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, listen to these words. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Listen to these words about hope. People of God, prophets like Habakkuk, pointed to a future hope, a Savior. No one knew when he would come. They only hoped that they would recognize the Messiah, the Son of God. We wait with hope for the one who has come and is coming. We hope in the one who will come. People of God, a new hope is coming. We will rejoice in the Lord. It's a word that we need to hear. As we live in the midst of a pandemic, we do wonder, who is there to help us? Who is there to guide us? Who will lift us up? Maybe this Advent, as we prepare our hearts once again and make room for the coming of the Christ child, maybe once again it will come in a new and a powerful way that we may be able to walk ever closer with God. I want to remind you, as we center upon hope today, and during my message today, I'll talk even more about that, but the hope that we talk about when we talk about biblical hope is not a wishing for something to be done and hoping that it might happen. It's a longing for, but it's also an assurance. The scriptural hope that we should have is to be assured that Jesus Christ will come. He has come, and he will come again. So as we light that candle of hope in our hearts today, during a time when we really need some hope, know that the Messiah has already come. But yet the Messiah is willing to come once again ever deeper into our hearts. And the Messiah will come again. Jesus Christ will return. And God is here for us at this time. Let's take a moment to go to the Lord in prayer and just pause for a moment before I lead us in public prayer, which will end with the Lord's Prayer, just to let God love on you. Just be quiet and silent and let God reach down and touch you in the way that you need to be touched today so that you might know the incredible love of God. So let's go now to the Lord. Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to be able to just pause in your presence, to be able to stop for a moment and allow the incredible, awesome God of the creator of all the universe, the creator of us, to reach down and just to love on us. Lord, you're always pouring your love down upon us over and over again. We experience it through your grace and your mercy. We experience your love through your peace and your comfort. We experience your love when we know and realize that the God of all creation is present to us and sitting with us in wanting nothing more than a very deep and powerful relationship with us. Lord, what an incredible thing that is. What an incredible thing that you have done for us through Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the Christ who came not just as a child, but grew into an adult and died upon the cross for our sins, that we might have a sacrifice and an atonement, that we really could experience this deep, powerful, loving relationship with you. Lord, thank you for that. And we realize as we pray that his sacrifice was necessary because we are sinners. Lord, we've come to you and we've asked you to forgive us and to wash us clean. But we also know as we walk our days each and every day that there is a time when sometimes we step off the path that you've called us to. Whether we've stepped off that path knowingly or unknowingly, we come to you and confess our sins, and we repent of them. We step away from living those ways and look to live a better way, the way that you're calling us to live on the spiritual journey, the way that you're calling us to allow Jesus Christ to live in and through us, not only that we might experience through his sacrifice the washing of our souls, so that now we are in your presence, experiencing your forgiveness, your cleansing, and your powerful love. But also, you're asking for Jesus Christ to shine through us, that we might be able to touch, as we live here, other people's hearts with the love that you have placed there. So, Lord, may we be truly your people, a people who allow Jesus Christ to shine through us in such a way that people may see you, that people may come to know you personally and realize that they too can have a Savior and a Lord that leads and guides them on the righteous path. So, Lord, thank you for opening up the Holy of Holies and allowing us to step into your presence. And thank you for just sitting and loving on us. For, Lord, that's what we need more than anything else. And we know as we look around to the world that that's what this world needs also. Teach us how we may love on others as you do. Teach us how we may reach out to them as you do, so that they may see and come to understand that they too can have salvation and eternal life. Lord, we also come to you with thanks for all that you've done for us in this past year. We thank you for your grace and mercy that you continue to shower upon us. We thank you for those who have prepared this country and this place that we might be able to worship you in the way that you call us. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that we can renew our hope in you and that we can have full assurance that you will fulfill the promises that you have made. Lord, we also come to you in the midst of this pandemic, asking that you would eradicate this pandemic and that it would be gone. We pray that you would give people wisdom and insight to know how to live, how to treat, how to help people, how to find a vaccine and a cure and treatments that work. Lord, you have the knowledge for all of this. And we pray for you to share that knowledge with the people who need to hear it, the people who need to experience it, so that they can share it with those who are sick. And Lord, we pray for the sick and ask for your healing hand to be upon them in a powerful way. We pray for all of those who are on the front lines that deal with this and the anxiety of it every day. We pray for those who are affected by it in any way, whether it be because of their job, maybe because of their inability to spend time with others at this time. Lord, we pray that you would take this pandemic from this earth and that you would do it soon. Thank you for hearing that prayer. And thank you for beginning to do something about that. We also want to pray, Lord, for those in the midst of our community who are experiencing economic problems because of everything that's going on. Maybe some don't have jobs or some are not able to work as often as they would like to. So we pray that you would supply for these families what they need. We also pray for our country that seems to be greatly divided, not only over election and over politics, but over racial concerns and economic concerns and financial concerns. We pray that you would touch people's hearts in such a way that they would better understand and know what they can do to help. We also pray for the leaders of our country, that they would receive your wisdom and insight to know how to lead us, and that they would make the decisions for the best of this country. And we pray for each individual person in our country to have wisdom to know how to live and how to help others. Lord, we especially want to pray for those who don't know you and who have yet to commit their lives to accepting what Jesus Christ has done for them on the cross. And we pray, Lord, that you would open doors and avenues and ways that we could share with them, that we could help them, that we could encourage them to accept you as their Savior, so that they might experience eternal life and know the blessings of walking the spiritual journey. Lord, thank you for the life of Jesus Christ and for all that he has done for us. And we ask you now that you would help us as we pray the words that he's taught his disciples when they asked him, teach us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a blessing it is to be able to come to God like that and just ask God to reach deep down in our hearts and guide us. Today I want to share with you from the book of Jeremiah some simple words, but words that have deep meaning. They come from Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, verses 14, 15, and 16. Listen to these words. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called: the Lord, our righteous Savior. Throughout the history of the people of Israel, there were always times that were difficult. Most of these difficult times came because people had not walked in the way that God asked them to walk in the land. It was very difficult for them. And they continued to have problems. Sometimes they would call out to God and come back to God, but quite often, once they did, and once things got better, they would turn and walk their own way again. So difficult times for the people of Israel have always been there. And during those times, the people have always wondered, will God come and do something about this? Will God be present? Will God help? Will God follow through on the promises that God has for the people? And you see, during the midst of those times, God always did come. And God always shared once again through the prophets and through others the very words of God's promises. That's what we have here in the book of Jeremiah. God has come, and God has spoken to Jeremiah, and God has shared with Jeremiah that things will change. Jeremiah is with the people in Jerusalem. The exile has already begun. And the people are living under the hand of an unrighteous ruler. Things are being destroyed in Jerusalem. And they're wondering, during these difficult times, will God come and do anything? Will God be present? Will God fulfill the promises that God made? And God comes and communicates to them very clearly that, yes, I will. God says that there will be a day when a Messiah comes. There will be a righteous one from the line of David. There will be a righteous one who comes and sets things right. You see, it's through Jeremiah that God reminds the people of this day and also reminds us to continue to look forward to the coming Messiah. To continue to look forward to what God is going to do by fulfilling the promises. You see, we can place our hope in God. That's the central focus of this first Sunday of Advent. As we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Christ child again, it's putting our hope in what God has promised. And remember, that hope is a firm assurance, a firm understanding that God does fulfill the promises that God made to the people. And in Jeremiah's day, God is coming to them once again to remind them that those words would be fulfilled, that there would be a righteous branch that would come. Listen to these words again. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. As we look at these words of Jeremiah, we can trust once again that God will bring this about. We're fortunate that we can look back and we have the stories of the Christ child coming. But we need to have within our hearts that firm assurance that the Christ child came to save us, that the Christ child came to deepen our ability to have a powerful relationship with a loving and a living God. We need to continue to look to God, especially as we find ourselves in the midst of a difficult time, wondering, will God come? Will God set things straight? Will God vanish this pandemic that seems to be running so rampant, not only in our country, but in all of the world? Will God eradicate this? Will God set it off to the side so that we can once again live in the incredible promises of God out amongst other people, showing them that the Savior is ready to save them too? Can we do that? Will God come? I truly believe that we can place our firm assurance in the fact that Jesus Christ has come and he has come to establish the kingdom of God in this world at this time. For you see, the kingdom of God exists around us. And we can have a firm assurance in that. We can have a great hope in that God is answering God's promises to us. The difficulty may go on for a while. As the people found during the exile, it was 70 years before things began to be set straight again. We pray that God will not allow 70 years to go this time before things are set straight. But folks, it calls for us to live the firm assurance that God answers the promises that God has made to God's people. So as we look forward to the celebration of Christmas again, we need to refresh our assurances in God's promises of a Messiah. That Messiah has already come. That Messiah has already been born. But yet each year during the time of Advent, we take the time to create within us a new space. Advent is about creating that new space, that hope grows ever brighter, that assurance that the Messiah is going to set things straight and judge righteously is going to happen. So we create that space within us during this time to be able to step up to the manger and see it afresh, to see it anew, and to be able to share it with others. For so many around the world and even in our country, Christmas is just another holiday, a day off from work, a day spent with family, a day of sharing gifts. What if we could be the people of God and create within us a new space and a new assurance that this Messiah who has already come will enliven this world once again in a new and a brighter way by first enlivening us and helping us and guiding us? What if we could do that? So I want to ask you to think about this. How will you seek to gain fresh assurance about the promise of God for a Messiah this year? How will you seek to gain a fresh assurance for the promise of God that the Messiah has come, that the Messiah is here, that the Messiah will return and set things right and rule righteously for all the world? May this first day of Advent be a day when you open up to that assurance that you can have of all the promises of God. Let us pray. Lord, you spoke through the prophets time and time again. And as you spoke through many of those prophets, you said there's a time coming when one will be born, when one will be the righteous kingdom or the righteous king, the righteous judge, the righteous one who comes. And Lord, you promised and you fulfilled that promise. Because we can look back and understand what you did through Jesus Christ now. That he was the one that set things right. That he was the one who died for our sins that we might live by trusting in the work that he has done for us. So that we could have a relationship with you in this day and age, but also in all eternity to come. So Lord, help us to renew afresh that assurance that we can have that you will complete your promises and that you will continue to open up the kingdom of God, not only to us, but to those who live around us, for them to be able to see you living through us, because we have such a great assurance of what you've done for us. So may hope grow in us. May hope prosper in us in a way that others could see it, in a way that others would experience in it, so that they too can come to know you. Lord, thank you for what you do for us. Thank you for the promise of a Messiah who has already come, but who also will return. And it's in his name, Jesus Christ's name, that we pray. Amen. May this week be a week where you trust God more, where you hope deeper in the promises that God has given us, and that hope would be an assurance to know that God will complete what God has promised. So So may God go with you this week to guide you and direct you in all that you do.